Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven that went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know, be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now it came about when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you, for I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me and why I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it came about as they were going along and talking that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said to him, "Behold now, there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and search for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him on some mountain or in some valley." And he said, "You shall not send." But when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent therefore 50 men, and they searched 3 days, but did not find him. And they returned to him while he was staying at Jericho, and said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold now, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad, and the land is unfruitful." And he said, "Bring me a new jar, and put salt in it." And they brought it to him. And he went out of the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. There shall not be from their death or unfruitfulness any longer." So the waters have been purified to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, young lads came out from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. And he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Amen. Okay, let's unpack this. Pretty amazing passage. Okay, so first of all, Elijah, as the word of the Lord, Elijah is going to be taken up. He's going to be translated. We have not seen this actually since Enoch. And we actually have not seen this since Elijah. So these are only two people that we knew basically would say, humanly speaking, never died. And they were just purely translated into heaven. And so Elijah hears the word, but apparently God also told other people that this was going to happen. So a big mob, not mob, a group of people of the prophets gathered together. Now there are two main schools here, one in Gilgal and one in Bethel. And these were schools that Elijah started, and these were the schools of the prophets. And so they were training them how to move in prophetic office and prophetic unction. And so kind of as a farewell, he visits these two schools, and now he's going to the place of the translation, which is the Jordan near Jericho. So he gets to this place. The other sons of the prophets, they come around and they are very aware of what's going to happen. And so he tells them, basically, hey, did you know that your master is going to be taken up? Yeah, I know. Be still, right? Relax, be calm. And then next time they go to a different place, same thing. And so now the sons of the prophets are at a distance away, and Elijah and Elisha, he takes his cloak, he puts his cloak down, and the Jordan splits. Now, I want to tell you that that is a sign of what we'll call a new dispensation. And so just like Moses, when he split the waters, it's a different dispensation. Now we come into a different time, and now the legacy or the anointing is going to be transferred now to Elisha. But the way it happens is quite interesting. And so the first thing that you notice here is that they cross over, and then as they cross over, remember Elijah is trying to tell Elisha to kind of, you know, you don't have to be here for all this stuff, but Elisha refuses to go. So the reward there, Elijah asks him, and this is where I want you to kind of look and see something. Elijah asks him, what do you want for me? Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha says, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, I want to suggest to you that we've been translating this wrong for a long time. Or I should say, not wrong, but incomplete in many ways. So, let's look at double portion in the scriptures, okay? If you don't have to turn there, but if you go to Numbers 11, 17, and then especially Deuteronomy 21, 17, we find out in the Old Testament, double portion was the inheritance of the firstborn son. And so even if you like didn't even love your son, and Deuteronomy says that you know he's not a son of your favor, you still had a Jewish right to give him, because he's firstborn, give him a double portion. That's what this term meant, double portion. And so obviously we know, yeah, I think Elisha probably meant a little bit of, I want double portion of your miracles, I want a double portion of your anointing. But I want to suggest to you, the first thing Elisha really asks is, Elijah, I want to be your son. I want to be your firstborn son. And before, if you look at the language here, all the other sons of the prophets, spiritual sons of the prophets, call him your master. Now, notice, after he says that, and so what I'm saying here, I'm not talking about a spiritual fathering in that regard. That's already happening. But something deeper is at mind, because then Elijah responds, you have asked a hard thing. It's easy to say, you're my spiritual son. It doesn't mean anything. But to actually be a son of inheritance is exactly what Elisha is asking Elijah. He says, that's a hard thing. Only God can do that one. And look what he says. He says, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. In other words, then that means God has granted it to you. If you see me being translated, then, in other words, you entered into the Holy of Holies, then there's a special, what you ask is be granted to you. But if not, it shall not be so. So as they're going up, chariots of fire and horses come, and this is a sign, really, of Elijah's greatness to Israel. And the picture, if you want to take it, this military motif of chariots and of fire and chariots of horses, Elijah the prophet, he did more to protect Israel than all the military might of the warriors and the soldiers of Israel. And so, in a country, in a society that's so bloodthirsty and so into conquest and all about military might and those things, God is trying to show us a picture here that the man of God, without military prowess, remember all through the kings and the judges, those are all military leaders. He says here, you know, the man of God is able to do so much more to protect Israel than even the soldiers and the warriors. And that's a great lesson for us. You know, a humble man, a man that hears from God, is able to do so much more to protect the people than strength or might or any other kind of leadership can come to the forefront there. Can you turn the air up something? I'm a little sick, so I'm sweating a lot, but this is kind of ridiculous here. All right, so let's continue on. Now, so this is happening, and then notice what he says. Remember, Elijah says, I can't do this for you. Only God can do this. But if you see me go up, and look what happens. Elisha saw it, okay, remember? He says, and if you see it, it'll be done for you. Elisha sees the translation happening, and what does he cry out? My father, my father. And so basically, sonship, this not just spiritual sonship, but sonship, double portion inheritance as firstborn son, is given supernaturally to Elisha. He's a son of the womb now. He's a son of the heart, not just a spiritual son in this regard. And so he sees it, and then he cries out, my father, my father. And then he describes, he sees everything. He sees the chariots of Israel, its horsemen, and he saw him no more. And then he takes his, and then he, you know, holds his, takes his own clothes. He tears into pieces, which was a sign of mourning back in these days, and a sackcloth and ashes, sign of mourning. And then he takes the mantle, the cloak of Elijah, puts it over himself, and then he gets to the waters. He strikes the waters just like Elijah had just done just a moment before, and he prays this prayer, and he says, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And then and that happens, he strikes the waters and the Jordan part. Now, I think that was for the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets didn't see this happening. They didn't. They saw the whirlwind and they saw all this, but they didn't see him get translated. Only Elisha was privy to that special moment. And so they come to him and say, hey, you know, surely the anointing, I'll read it here. The prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him and said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. So they knew something had happened to Elisha. But then, because they didn't see the translation, they didn't see him go into heaven, and that must have been an incredible sight. I mean, this is like, you know, one person left on the face of the earth that ever saw something like this. And then they say to him, behold, hey, let's go around and let's look, because all they saw was the storm. They saw the chair. They saw the storm of nature. And he says, well, if we go and maybe the body is somewhere out there somewhere. And so Elisha says, no, don't go. And then they keep pestering him, so they let him go. They come back, and he basically says, I told you so. You shouldn't have gone. And then they move on. And then this is now the ministry of Elisha. And so the first miracle he does, he turns bad water, unfruitful water, and he uses salt, and he turns it into fresh water. It's a pretty amazing miracle. I mean, just it was just a dab. It was just a jar that they spilled over to the whole water supply. And there's no amount of salt can do that kind of good in this regard. And then we get into a really interesting passage. And this is not to support, you know, everyone that's going bald or anything like that. But let's break it down, because it's a very misunderstood passage. So start at verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and he's just going up by the way, young lads. I know some translations say children. These were not children. These were 20-year-olds, 25-year-old people. And so the New American Standard translates it well. They were young lads, came out from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. Now, let's break this down. The go up refers to Elijah. And so basically they're saying, remember they're mocking the prophet, the man of God. If you are really a prophet, you can do what Elijah did, and you should be able to be translated into heaven. And then they use the term bald head. Now, bald head didn't refer to people that were bald-headed in that regard. There are actually a couple different meanings here. One is these would have been people that took a vow. Either they shaved their head, and a lot of prophets did that at certain seasons. And so it was kind of making fun of the prophetic office. But a lot of times, it was a Middle Eastern curse word. Or it was an incredibly derogatory statement. I know in our day and age, it doesn't really mean much, but in this day and age, it was really bad. It was a really bad curse, curse word and derogatory insult that you gave. But more so, they were mocking the man of God. They were mocking the anointing. They were, and some scholars translate say that, they were being, they were almost close to being violent. And this is not a few of them. It says here in 24, tore up 42 lads of their number. So you're talking about a huge group of young men. Can you imagine? They're coming towards the man of God. They're mocking him, insulting him. They're making fun of him. And when they're doing that, this is what God wants you to see. They're making fun of God. They're mocking God. They think that they're mocking a man, but they're mocking the man or the God that stands behind this man. And so, you know, go up, you baldhead. You know, you're not a prophet. You know, you're nobody. And all these derogatory terms. So Elisha doesn't pay attention. He moves past the group. He's a good man. He moves past the group. And then he turns back towards them, and he curses them in the name of the Lord. In other words, he basically gives them over to the Lord. And he said, all right, let God do what he's going to do with you. And then, notice, it wasn't Elijah. He says, then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up the 42 lads of their number. It was God who came down. And God avenge the insults and avenge the curses and avenge the foolery of these men before before his anointed servant. And so it's not, you know, don't think, oh, these guys made fun of his bald head. Most likely Elisha was not even bald during this time, and this was a common Middle Eastern curse that even people that had full head of hair, it was something that was laid to them. So it wasn't had anything to do with you know, the amount of hair that you had. It was an extremely derogatory term. It'd be kind of like in Middle Eastern days, you know, they took off their shoe and they threw it at you. That was like the worst thing you can do to someone, was throw your shoes at them. And in Middle Eastern, remember they did that to President Bush back in the days. You know, as a Westerner, we're like, I don't know what that means. But obviously, a Middle Eastern person knows exactly what that means. It's a very similar kind of idea, and it was a very derogatory. But they made fun of the anointing. And when they made fun of the anointing, and they made fun of the anointed one, and mocked him, and ridiculed him, and God had his back. And so, again, I think we talked about this last week. Man, be careful. Right? Be careful what you say against the man of God or the woman of God. Be careful of our attitudes. Or now, this doesn't get into the area of, well, you can't say anything negative because, you know, I mean, if a leader is not doing right, you can in the spirit of love, you can obviously confront them. In the spirit of love, right? And obviously that's as part of it. I mean, I hope that, you know, if I was messing up, I'd hope that, you know, we'd have, you know, pastoral staff or board members or, you know, or leaders of the church that would come in and say, hey, P. Sam, you know, I don't know if you should, you know, be saying that or doing that. And I think I would appreciate that. So we're not saying that leaders, you know, they're untouchable, but in our hearts, the idea here is the mocking. The idea here is, you know, are you really a man of God? You know, are you in our context, are you really a leader? Are you really leadership material or this way? Even though God and the church had chosen them into these positions. And when that happens, be aware. Be aware. God takes care of his anointed. But let me go back. I don't want to get stuck on that part because it's such a little part. But again, here's another revelation about sonship that is placed upon us. He says, really simply, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Right? Let me be a son. I want to step into that place of inheritance. And of course, the inheritance included miracles, Right? And it included prophetic office and all that stuff. But what the important part was really the idea that identification as a son. Compared to all the other sons of the prophets that were there, spiritual sons, actually, you know, I want to suggest to you a natural son. In the sense that he calls out, and when he sees it in verse 12, my father, my father. It's that identification, that identity of a son. And the more and more as I speak at churches and, you know, our church and other churches, and as I minister to people, I realize that so many people, I'm not even talking about the orphan heart in that regard, but just simply don't walk in the identification of a son or a child of God. And it's so important in our life because our whole value in many ways flows out of our relationship with the Father. And some more, it's so important that we can identify ourselves as sons before the Lord. So let's close our eyes today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to our heart as it relates to Father. When you receive your identity as a son, the miracles, inheritance, anointing, all that stuff is an afterflow. The key is the identity. When that happens, everything flows from that place. And we are sons of God. That's why Paul writes in Romans, right, that he calls it the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Right? Not a spirit of fear. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Are we secure in our identity as sons, which we cry out, Abba, Father?
Who you are.
Pray, huh? Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church. Oh, that we would be secure in our identity as sons. That God will reveal His heart to us. That He is our good, good Father. And we are totally loved by Him. And out of that love, everything flows. All the anointing, all the inheritance, everything you need, all your security flows from that place. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them, hopefully through the healing, but in many other ways as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's put our mission focus and let's pray today for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia and pray for her ministry there, that she continues to learn the language well. Let's pray for SB Seoul. SB Seoul is actually going to be taking a little break due to Eunsung's illness. Let's just ask God to allow us to take it up when it's His time. And pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace, her last week here in Hong Kong, that she would continue to hear from the Lord about the next steps. Pray for Oasis House and Pastor Jenny. Lord, we'll continually use this healing center to be a blessing to Phnom Penh. Let's pray over our missions council. Pray for our leaders, Pastor Ricky and other leaders. Let's pray that they would continue to hear from the Lord and be used by Him powerfully to lead our church and our mission endeavors. Let's pray for our local outreach, Agape, HOMI, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers, that they'll be strengthened by the Lord. Pray for divine contacts and moments as they minister. And pray for the ministries that we partner with as well, that they would be used powerfully by the Lord. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. I pray for IP, and actually, I think, well, let's just pray for Pastor Brian. He's going to be ministering tonight. He's actually flying. He should be in the air right now. I know SPU's joining, and I'm sure IP is as well, our meeting tonight. And let's pray that the Lord, I know He said He's got a word for our church, and let's pray that He would deliver it well, and that our church would really receive from the Lord, and our people would come out to receive. Let's just pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank You, God. We love You this morning. We thank You that You call us Your sons, God. Lord, we're no longer slaves, leading to fear again, Lord. But You've given us a spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And God, our spirit bears witness, Lord, that we are sons and heirs of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that we would receive, God, our identity first and foremost, and only, God, as sons. Lord, now that place everything flows. And then, God, we'll have all the anointing, all the provision, God, everything we need to succeed, God, in You. And so we thank You, Father. Thank You for loving us, God, and calling us Your own, Lord. God, even while we're yet sinners, Christ, You died for us. And so we thank You, Lord. We love You. Help us to be good sons, mature sons of the house, God, today. as we seek your heart, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you tonight. Please come out tonight and invite your friends as well.